Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we come to another feast day in the Episcopal Church. Today is the Feast of the Epiphany, when we celebrate the revelation of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Today, and we remember especially the visit of the wise men who see a star in the sky and come to find the King of the Jews. But it's the beginning of a season when we celebrate the totality of the revelation of the divinity of Christ, as we will go through the next several weeks and months and remember this revelation of the divinity of Christ, not only to the Jews, but to the entire world.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, your love is broad and deep and high. May your Spirit rise like a mighty wave and transform us, a people made in love, created in your image and likeness. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Be seated. I've heard it said that there are two kinds of people in the world: cat people and dog people. Now, I think there are other categories. Are there any bird people? No, am I the only one? How many of you are cat people? Okay. How many of you are dog people? How many of you think everybody should be dog people? How many of you think everybody should be cat people? Yeah, exactly. All perspective. Well, a German Shepherd, a Doberman, and a cat have all gone to meet their maker at the pearly gates. God wants to know from each one of them what they believe in. So first he asks the German Shepherd. The German Shepherd says, "I believe in discipline, training, and loyalty to my master." "Good," says God. "Come over here, boy, and sit on my right side." "The Doberman," he said, "what do you believe in?" The Doberman answers, "I believe in the love, care, and protection of my master." "Ah," says God, "that's a wonderful answer. You may come here and sit at my left." And then he looks at the cat and says to the cat, "And what do you believe in?" And the cat says, "I believe you're sitting in my chair." Is that not the truth or what? The manifestation of Christ to the peoples of the earth. The Feast of the Epiphany. This is our celebration today, and it's the celebration on our calendar every single year on January 6th. It does not happen very often, though, that it falls on a Sunday. I did some checking, thank God for the internet, and found out that the Feast of Epiphany has fallen on a Sunday only 10 times in my lifetime of 65 years. Only 10 times. If I were 1 year older, it would be 11. But it's 10. In the Western church, the Epiphany has been a traditional time to focus on the visit of the Magi, the astrologers from the East, to the child Jesus as told in Matthew's gospel. Most people don't realize it, but there are some many and significant differences between the story as Matthew tells it and the folklore that we have come to associate with the story. Starting out with the word magi, it does not mean king. It means a wise person, a wise man. It refers to the professional scholars that were learned in the science of astrology. It's not we three kings of Orient are. Matthew simply says, they, the magi, the astrologers, observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. Where is the king of the Jews? They asked. We also don't know how many there were, by the way, or what their names are. Traditionally, we assume there are three, and in a manuscript from around the year 500, they were identified as Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. But Matthew never mentions a number and never mentions names. Did we hear that a moment ago? All Matthew says to us is that three gifts were presented: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those three gifts could have been presented by 3, 5, 10, 30, 50, whatever number were in the caravan that came from the east to follow that star. I did hear an interesting story a few weeks ago. You know, children, love children's stories. A little boy in a Christmas pageant announced in a loud voice to all the audience that the wise men came and brought gifts of gold, common sense, and fur. Might have been a little more practical, I think. Also in the Bible, you know, there's no mention of Jesus in the manger when they arrived. Think about our traditional Christmas creche. I have to apologize to you, by the way. The Altar Guild said, "Do we take everything down after last Sunday?" And I said, "Yes." And so there's no creche there. It should be there through today. But it's not. I'm sorry. It's my fault. But in our creche scenes, three of the figures we place in that creche scene are what? Three kings. Now, if we're really strict, we don't put them in there until the Epiphany, because that's when the three wise men, kings, magi, came. But they didn't show up at Jesus' birth. They were not present at that time. As again, Matthew said, on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. They didn't enter a stable. they entered a house. So how old was Jesus at this time? Well, he's probably somewhere around 2 years old by this time, according to Matthew. Remember the scheme we just heard a moment ago of Herod? What a deceptive rascal. Matthew says that Herod told the Magi, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." Really? Herod is going to pay homage to a new king? Another king? No. The wise men were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. And then in the next verse in Matthew's gospel, which we didn't read today, Joseph is told in a dream to take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill him. So Herod is enraged. And obviously, he needed to get rid of the threat and eliminate this newborn king who would be his unseating. So what did Herod do? He ordered the slaughter of all boys in the kingdom, 2 years old and under, using the information given him by the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. So while we have greatly embellished Matthew's story over time, what difference does it make? Probably not one bit. The point of the Feast of the Epiphany from the earliest of times, however it is celebrated and however the focus is made, was to draw our attention to the revelation of God incarnate, God and fleshed in the person of Jesus. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 15 and following, expresses it in these words: "Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped at or held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross." While our gospel on this day focuses on the story of the Magi as signifying the revelation of God in Christ to all the peoples of the earth, the season beyond this day, the season of Epiphany, points to other stories and other events of God's manifestation through Jesus. For example, at his baptism, at the wedding feast in Cana where he turns water into wine, at the visitation he makes to his hometown synagogue at the beginning of his ministry where he reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and tells them that this scripture is fulfilled right there in their hearing in him. And we have other stories of healing, calling of his disciples, all of this culminating at the end of the Epiphany season, the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, with the story of the transfiguration of Jesus, where his identity as the Son of God is dramatically revealed. The stories of Epiphany remind us that God took the initiative to bear himself, to empty himself, to reveal himself as the God for all people everywhere. Our stories of Epiphany keep before us the revelation that Jesus is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So what do we do with this revelation? Is it just another tenet of our faith? Another precept or statement of belief? What difference does this revelation of God's closeness and universal love mean to us and the lives that we lead today? It saddens my heart and it grieves me when I reflect on the fact that too often in our history and even in our present day, the church And by the church, I'm not talking about Episcopal or Anglican or Catholic, or I'm talking about all people who profess a belief in Jesus Christ, regardless of denomination or even non-denomination. The church was and often continues to be an exclusive club for insiders. A great deal of time, energy, and even theology has been and is spent on determining and distinguishing the worthy from the unworthy, the sacred from the profane, the righteous from the unrighteous, the holy from the unholy, the saint from the sinner. And when that happens, people loved and embraced by God are cast away as lepers of old were separated, isolated, shunned, and discarded. What would happen if we really, really, really let God reveal himself to us as he is, not as we wish him to be? What if we were open to that? What would our hearts be like if we were really open to this epiphany of God among us, around us, within us? What would our lives, hearts, and minds be like if we truly embraced the message that by becoming one of us, God wants us to be more like him, acting like God, being like God, loving like God, being a reflection of all that God is? Think about that. It's not really a novel idea, by the way. As a matter of fact, you might say it's in our DNA. I'm sure you'll recognize this passage from the beginning of the book of Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish, the birds, the cattle, the wild animals, over every creeping thing upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. It seems to me that the Epiphany is not only about a manifestation or revelation of God's appearing, God's presence to the world through his son Jesus, but Epiphany is also a reminder that we, embracing this Christ, are called to be an Epiphany to all people everywhere, in every community, in every land, in all times, and in all places, without exception. To be with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, the manifestation of Christ to the peoples of the earth. Amen. Filled with the love of God for all people, let us go forth in the name of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah.